Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're 312-981-7200. Last week, Wendy, I was perusing a medical website and they were explaining the strangest medical stories of the year. Some of them advances, technical breakthroughs in the world of medicine. Others were just strange stories of things that had never been documented from a neuroscience angle. And I found a story that I had not heard of. I guess it started in the summer or was reported in the summer, but I had not heard about it until just a few days ago. Dr. Jerry Burgess joins us right now. Dr. Burgess is a lecturer in clinical neuropsychology at the University of Leicester in England, although you're an American, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yes. Dr. Burgess, this is a very, very strange case, and I'm going to have you explain to our listeners what exactly is going on with William, a patient of yours. What can you tell us about William?
Well, William has a very unusual case of antegrade amnesia, which basically means that from a certain point in his life, he has been unable to make any new memories of day-to-day life or tracking the age of his children or wife's new job or new car that they may have. He simply doesn't remember anything. And this incident began when he visited a dentist for a routine root canal and received local anesthetic and was lying back under yellow shaded glasses. And at some point, his consciousness changed, but they didn't know that anything was peculiar until they finished the root canal and asked him to get up, and he wasn't able to get up. From that point, it eventually became clear that his speech was slurry, and they gave him oxygen and dextrose tablets, thinking that he was just having like a fainting spell. But it turns out that they realized that he wasn't laying down any new memories soon after that, and he was taken to the hospital.
Now, could he have experienced a stroke or something like that during the procedure?
Well, it would not appear that he had a stroke or anything of the nature. What makes his case unusual, because antegrade amnesia, of course, is not an unusual thing, but what is unusual about him is that in several different types of brain scans that are available to us, all of them come out clear. There's no structural damage. There's no brainwave abnormality, no cerebral blood flow that is unusual. So this is a difficult one to explain.
Everything looks normal on these brain scans and everything, correct?
Yes.
That's wild. Right.
And I guess the aftermath of this, if I'm getting this right from the story, is that he's stuck in some sort of a perpetual loop where he thinks that every day that he wakes up, every day is March 14th, 2005, the day that he was at the dentist's office, and he believes when he wakes up every day that he has to go back in and have root canal work done, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
God, that's like hell, that, you know, waking
it, it
up
would
thinking
be similar.
You have to go to get a root canal.
Yes, I mean, it does. It seems like God's joke or something.
Yeah.
You have to wake up every day thinking it's the day of a root canal.
Dr. Burgess, is this totally unprecedented? Has there ever been anything quite like this before that you're aware of?
Well, what's unusual, and I think it's important to say going to the dentist is already a scary thing, and mm-hmm. I can say that this is the only case that I know of its kind. But there are similar cases of amnesia like this that actually were preceded by a neck injury or a back injury. And one theory that came to me from someone else, and it may just be true, is that actually there are people who perhaps have a latent genetic trait and something in their spine gets injured, like a pinch or something, and it activates this gene that then doesn't, you know, adequately synthesize proteins, which is what permanent memories is all about, essentially, mm-hmm. a rearranging of the brain through proteins.
What about the dentist? You know, when he was moved back into his chair, could that have pinched a nerve or started this? Has there been any kind of blame going on for the procedure that happened at the dentist?
Yeah, there is no blame for the procedure. You know, partly probably because there was no precedent for it, so there was really nothing to pin it on. And he had suffered a back injury a couple of decades before, and with aggravation of his back. Yeah, it's been just a case that's been very hard to explain or understand, and his amnesia is also unusual from the other kinds of amnesias that we know about, because most amnesias have to do with slow deterioration of the brain through dementias or rapid injury or poisoning to specific parts of the brain that have to do with making new memories. And when a part of the brain called the hippocampus is damaged in the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere, what people experience is a perpetual moment. All they have awareness for is just a few seconds, maybe up to a minute. Maybe they could follow a conversation for a little bit. But what's unusual about William is that he... has a 90-minute span of awareness.
That's it, 90 minutes.
Poor guy.
Yeah, before he forgets everything. And another thing that's unusual about him is that with people with hippocampal damage, they also can learn new motor skills or tasks or how-tos, like how to ride a bicycle or how to put together a stand or something like that. And he's able to learn that normally, but he also forgets that.
Wow, this is a terrible situation to be in. Now, how long have you known William?
I've known him now for 10 years.
And what is a tip? How old is William at this point?
He's 48.
48 years old. And does he have a family? Is he married?
Yes, he married his equivalent to high school sweetheart, and they're still married. And when this incident occurred, they had two children that were 10 and 8, who of course now are 20 and 18. And he wakes up each morning expecting also to find his children at the age that they were. And as a way to manage his situation, he was an officer stationed abroad over in Germany in the British Army. They came home when they realized this thing wasn't getting any better and moved into his mother's house because he, of course, from his past history, his childhood, he knows the neighborhood, he knows where the shops are.
He's more comfortable there.
Yes, he's more comfortable, and he also knows how to get his way around. So that's really important, but he has that problem to wake up to every morning, as you said, that he wakes up and he wonders why he's not in Germany, why he's in his mother's house.
Poor
and essentially
guy.
His wife says, go downstairs, read your computer, it's all there. So each morning he reads about his whole life once again, and it's a repeat over and over again each day.
Dr. Burgess, if you're just joining us, Dr. Jerry Burgess is our guest, a clinical neuropsychologist, and we're talking about the strange case of William in England, who every day wakes up believing that it's March 14th, 2005. I'm sure I'm not the first person to make this parallel, but there's a film called Memento, about 15 years old, where it's a very similar circumstance. It's a little different, but kind of a similar circumstance. You're aware of this, right?
I am aware of that, yes.
Yeah. Oh, go on.
It's been a while since I've seen the film, but I think it's a fairly good rendition in that William also has his problem-solving ability. He has his intelligence. He has all this available to him, and he can work through strategies through the day, learn when he wakes up in the morning that he has a problem and that he has to face this and manage it throughout his day. And, of course, William doesn't meet adventures like the Memento character
right.
each day.
Right, good.
Yeah, But he does manage his life, and he has the same sort of capabilities. But he knows that, that you know, these memories of that day is going to be lost.
Yeah.
But so from what I'm hearing then is he can learn things. He comes down every morning, looks at the computer screen to his life story to remind him. But then 90 minutes later, does that information pass? And again, he's confused?
I'm not sure any of us can really understand exactly what it's like for him. But I should say as well that he forgets things after 90 minutes that have not been practiced, rehearsed, or brought back into conscious awareness again.
Hmm. Okay. So and new experiences.
Yeah. So actually, if something is said to him or taught to him and becomes latent and stays latent for 90 minutes, then it's lost. But he has like a refreshing mechanism through the day so that he could have some continuity. And every 90 minutes, he does have his beeper go off and, you know, go back and to remind him to go back and read again his list of what's happened and who's died since 2005 and all these things so he doesn't make an error of saying something improper,
sure,
as the case may be.
Wow.
So there is a little bit of, you know, you might say there's a continuity to his day, but if something is not being utilized or actively participating in, it will be lost after 90 minutes.
Dr. Burgess, can I ask this? When you were first telling us the breakdown of what happened to William on that day at the dentist's office, you mentioned that he was laying back and wearing yellow-shaded glasses. Is there, yes, something to that, that part of the description, or is that just you just being, you know, as fully formed as you needed to be to tell the story, or do you think there could be something to that part of it?
Well, I do wonder about a neck injury that's just difficult to find. But the reason why I said the yellow shaded glasses was that the dentists weren't able to see his eyes opened or closed and what might have been happening to his pupils or if anything was happening. Essentially, he just laid back with his mouth open and seemed a cooperating patient.
Yeah.
But it seems that something, William's last memory was, he remembers getting the shot of the anesthetic in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he remembers the drilling starting, and that's his last memory.
You know, when I go to the dentist, and I actually love my dentist, but I still kind of have a little nervous action going when I'm sitting in the chair, and I run through the Novocaine so quickly that they have to keep shooting me up, mm-hmm, in order to do it, and I really have like a freak out session every time I go to the dentist. That being said, Dr. Burgess, if William had some kind of aversion to going to the dentist, I know that this seems like something a traumatic injury could do to the brain. Could this be like a traumatic enough event that it stopped his brain from functioning?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a theory that is still out on the table. But there wouldn't be. I mean, I think in knowing him 10 years as well, I could say, you know, he was a military officer, and he's not the kind of person to wear his emotions on his sleeve.
Right.
He's a very cool under pressure sort of person. He's been in combat and all this in the Gulf.
But so couldn't this be some kind of post traumatic stress that is kicking in at a time you didn't expect it? It just, you know, next time anybody complains about their life, think of this poor William guy, yeah, and what he has to go through every day. But
yeah,
could it,
yeah,
be some remnant or some lasting thing from post-traumatic stress disorder?
You know, you couldn't rule that out for sure. It's a really good thing to think about. And post-traumatic stress disorder is unusual because usually that's often about a memory that won't go away, and or a need to forget one's identity and one's past. What's unusual about his case is that he's unable to lay down new memories. And that doesn't that doesn't really have a psychological function that's been identified to date.
Unless it's his brain trying to protect him from
mask
the things
something.
That he's seen before. My dad died when I was 10, and a lot of people have said, you know, when you're a young child and you lose a parent, like, I don't have any memories of my dad. And I was 10, I should. But a lot of times your brain kind of protects you by letting those memories fade.
Yes, yes. And I guess it would seem that in your childhood, the memories faded from some time in the past. And it is just unusual that a memory would only stick around a very benign material, actually, for only 90 minutes.
Yeah, the whole thing is just bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, there's a critical number of cases of dissociative amnesia, which is, you know, which is like how the brain helps us. Like, I think maybe it helped you to sort of just not have a memory of your father, so you don't have to feel the grief of it. And what's unusual about William is that he, what's unusual about William is that there are very few cases. We know of four that might have some similarities, but none are exactly the same. And so there's not a critical number of cases for it to have been studied, classified, and you know, it doesn't make sense to psychologists, it doesn't make sense to neurologists, it doesn't make sense to psychiatrists. And so everyone is just very confused about this, but it seems that you know, potentially the best theory of what happened, since he can't remember if he just learned to ride a bicycle and he had a birthday party, he'd forget both of those things.
Yeah.
It makes one think what seems to make logical sense is that it is a biological problem, that new synapses are not ultimately being formed. A memory trace essentially goes through several electrical firings in the brain through specific brain structures, and then eventually gets organized out into the rest of the brain by synapses being rearranged. And synapses being rearranged requires ability to synthesize proteins and rebuild synapses, rebuild what neurochemicals go between the synapses. And it's, you know, it's a protein event that actually, if that's not happening, then there are going to be no permanent memories in procedures and how-to and memories of events or people.
Does William have like a GoFundMe page or something that someone could donate to? Because this is just really a terrible way to start the new year. It's a sad story.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that thought that you have for him. I think we hadn't thought about that sort of thing. Certainly his wife has had to pick up a second job.
Dr. Burgess, if we may interrupt you for just one second, hang on the line. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back and, you know, maybe that's something we could do. It's so
that
terrible.
That would be nice. Yeah. Unprecedented and unbelievable.
312-981-7200. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. And we are talking about a very bizarre story that Bill found on the internet over the weekend. Clinical neuropsychologist Dr. Jerry Burgess on the line with us. We were talking about William, who basically wakes up to the same memory every morning, and it's a terrible story, Dr. Burgess. If there's any way his wife or you get together a GoFundMe page, I'd like to throw something in.
Absolutely.
This has got to be terribly expensive for her.
Yes. Yes, well, I appreciate that thought, and I'm sure they would as well. I think that their experience through all of this has made them rather shy, and I'd like to reach out to your listeners if that's all right.
Sure.
In terms of just thinking about since the story broke over the summer, I've gotten a few emails of people who have experienced something similar and people who have theories about perhaps what had happened. And I think that one of the most helpful things is that if people have experienced this, if there was a way that they could let you know or let me know. It's really helpful to hear stories, and we're continuing the research to try and understand what this is all about.
And is there an email address to send your way, Dr. Burgess?
Yes. Should I say it now?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So it's gb222@le.ac.uk.
Okay, let's do it again. gb222@le.mc.uk.
.ac.
.ac, I'm sorry.
AC, yes.
Okay.
.uk.
We'll put a link on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. I know you, being a doctor and being on this case for many years, it's stumped you. And I know you're just looking for other people that have experienced something to obviously try and help William.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And poor William and his family had the experience of no one having heard of this before.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases being laughed out of an office or rejected or thought that they were faking it or something of that nature.
It's terrible.
Oh. So they've had a real hard time, and I've heard other stories of people who also, just because this is so rare, that people don't know what to make of it and can't help. So we're trying to do something about that.
Well, let's keep in touch, and you please let us know if someone does start a GoFundMe page or something, and shy or not, maybe his wife should look into doing that, and I'm sure there are people that would want to help.
Okay, I'll pass on that idea. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dr. Burgess. We appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Okay,
Thank you so much.
What a story. Unbelievable.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's as tragic as can be. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then a lot more show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.